Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Renee from Sacramento. Welcome, Renee.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Great. How are you doing today?
Great. Doing great.
Great. It's a beautiful day in California.
It is gorgeous. Spring is beautiful.
Yeah, I feel compelled to say that after many weeks and feels like months of rain.
Yes, it's nice to have the sunshine, definitely.
Great. Which ties into our topic today. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about Garden Day at the monastery.
Yeah, I had a great time, and I worked hard too. There was a lot to do, and the garden was overgrown with weeds, and we did a lot of weeding, and there were quite a few other people there and a few children, and it was just really... really nice to be there in the silence, working, focusing on just that.
Yes, it sounds great.
I
understand it, the monastery is always looking for ways to broaden the ways that people can participate, and so they invited some local folks in to come spend the day doing working meditation with them, you know, with the monastery and the monks, as a way of trying that out as an opportunity.
Right, and it was great. And, you know, I had thoughts about, oh, my own garden is a mess, and what am I doing? But when I got back, I looked at my garden, and I went, wow, this is so small. And I thought, I learned so many tricks, like at the monastery, so it's probably going to make it faster, you know?
Great.
So it sounds like there was
a process of kind of, why should I go work on the monastery garden when I have this own garden to work on? And then after you came back, there was really that, sounds like an inspiration to work on your own garden as well.
Well, there was that, and then just the whole day was, I use the word magical, because when I'm there, I can focus on just what I'm doing and not all the other thoughts about all the other things I have to do, and that's just one of my tasks, and I have all these other tasks to do. So it was nice to do that, and it was nice to have children, including my son, there with us. And I haven't been able to take him back for a while, so that was nice that they opened that up for children to come.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great.
Yeah.
To me, it's really touching when I see that the monastery is really going to every length to make practice opportunities available for me. It's really great.
Yeah, it was really good. And I just working without all the voices is a joyful experience.
Yes. Now say that one more time, because I really want to hear it.
Working without all the voices is very joyful.
Yeah.
And I actually this week at work, Monday morning it occurred to me I could do it here at my own job, and I did that all day yesterday. And amazingly, I was in a wonderful mood all day.
Wow.
And I'm still carrying that around, and I feel it coming in. I feel conditioning knocking at the door, trying to get back in.
Yeah.
To tell me that I have a whole lot more to do and I'm never going to get it all finished. And it's amazing. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Last night I was actually walking around going, what should I do? Which is very uncommon.
So if I'm following you, it sounds like you had an experience of really being present at the monastery, working in the garden without the voices, and you took that experience with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really...
Definitely.
Yeah, it's my experience as well. When I go to the monastery, I have the support of the privileged environment, of the schedule, of the monks and everyone modeling practice, modeling letting go of the story. And it really awakens for me what's possible in my own life.
Yes, definitely. That's what happens. And the compassion was there... it's at the monastery, you know, the people who are practicing there with you, there's compassion that, you know, if you need to get a snack or you need to get a drink of water. I mean, you work hard and I was tired and noticed how out of shape I am for the summer. But I also noticed how, I could rest when I needed to, and I could have the opportunity to take a break, and then there was time after lunch and that sort of thing to take a break. And, you know, I don't give that to myself during my work day very often. So
right.
That it feels like all work and no play when I'm when I'm here, and when I'm there, it doesn't feel like either one.
Just doesn't feels like, feel like either one.
So right.
Tell me more about what it is, or for that matter, what it isn't when you're in the monastery.
I think it's just doing what you're doing and being joyful with it and,
yeah.
you know, just being present with what you're doing, whatever it might be. And being in a community where other people are supporting you, and yeah.
Yeah, to me it's just so powerful to be in that place where other people are modeling it in a way that I project is really beautiful and, quote, true, unquote,
mm-hmm.
in the sense that it really feels like it's coming from a centered, kind, compassionate place. And as you said, within that schedule and, you know, to conditioning, it's really demanding. Your experience is that it's really kind and compassionate. It was
mm-hmm.
time for you to take a break. There was time after lunch for you to take care of yourself. And to me, it's really great to get that information that is really contrary to what conditioning wants me to believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it was great providing service, knowing that people are going to come for retreats and that you're providing that support in whatever way you can with our busy, you know, lives outside of the monastery. And but having the opportunity to do that, you know, really fills my soul and my heart, and, you know, that other people are going to be there doing retreats and being at center and just thinking about all of that was nice. And it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. I mean, the green was just, it's such a bright green right now.
Yes.
And the breeze blowing and the flowers are just starting to bloom, and it's just amazingly gorgeous.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And you didn't say this directly, but for me, there's that experience of when I'm in service in that way, that it feels like I'm really serving all. I'm serving these other people who are going to come on retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And from what
yeah.
you shared, it sounds like it really serves you as well.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah. And then, you know, my son, you know, he at home, I sort of drive him to do the chores really hard. And so it was kind of nice to have him working hard, but then he could take a break whenever he wanted. And I saw some new things about that in parenting. And so that was helpful. And the dogs were amazingly fun to play with. And so it was just, it was like I said, it doesn't seem like there's a difference between work and play.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a difference between work and play. Like it's
yeah.
all one thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What comes up
yeah.
when you say that is it's one possibility. There's just one big possibility of how I can be with life in a way that's kind to me, kind to other people, enjoying the dogs, seeing how I am about parenting, being of service.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sounds like you saw everything.
Everything. My whole life right there.
yeah.
In one day.
and that's what happens to us, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When we practice and go to the monastery, is our life really gets reflected or mirrored for us.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And just to be part of the community and the Sangha is very supportive. I'm so grateful for the way that they're including all of us.
It's really great. And my experience of practice over the years is just, it's an incredibly expanding menu or buffet of every possible way to jump into practice.
Yeah, and it's sort of like conditioning has nowhere to hide.
Yes.
Mhm. So it's there. You know, I'm invited to do this. I see this opportunity. All these things are happening. And, yes, I have to say yes.
Yes, say yes.
Yeah, so.
And I project you want to say yes.
Yes, I do.
That's my experience as well, is that even though there's conditioning there resisting it, that what I want
mm-hmm.
is to live a life from practice, from center, as much as I can, because my experience is that feels really good. Serves everybody. It's kind. It's generous. It's how I want to be in the world.
Yeah, and I think we love it. We just love it.
We just love it.
Mhm.
How it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So.
Renee, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Michael?
Oh, Sherry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Nothing to it, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
I just finally, for the first time, the gal said you are unmuted. So
I'm taking my hands off the computer. I can't touch it.
I love it. I love it.
You know, what's fun for me is that this is not a surprise.
Oh, right.
You know, and just like with conditioning, when it happens over and over again, it's like, okay, here we
right.
go. No need to get upset about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is not a crisis. Mhm.
Life.
So little in life is a crisis, actually, but yeah. We can make anything a crisis if we work at it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
For much of the time, it seems like I don't have to work very hard.
Oh, but as Renee pointed out, it's a gorgeous day.
It is a gorgeous day.
Yeah.
Really,
and per the Practice Everywhere messages,
yeah.
The birds are singing.
I loved those yesterday.
Yep. I bought myself flowers.
Oh, great.
Yes. So, you know, things just can't be that bad.
No, they're not, are they?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I loved some of the recent messages.
Yeah.
One of them was, look up.
Right.
What do you see? It was great. It was just such, you know, out of the blue, unexpected. You just have to do it and see what's there.
Yeah, right. Well, I had a lot of fun with that one because I was on a building site and one of the other builders said, look up. And I had this momentary thought that something was falling
yeah.
on my head,
yeah.
which is something we had been doing kind of regularly on one another's heads, not on mine particularly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, then it had to be explained to me, no, that's actually a tweet. So, now, go ahead and look up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's fun. Very fun.
Wow. Can I share one big insight I had recently?
Please.
I was on a conference call for practice. You know, we do a lot of conference call opportunities.
Yep.
And what I saw was, I know. I know what's wrong with you and how to fix it. I know what's wrong with me and how to fix it. And it's just so huge. It was like my whole life flashed before me.
Wow. So you mean you saw that process as it was happening?
Well, I saw, we were talking about facilitation.
Uh-huh.
And what I saw was that I can go to that place
uh-huh.
when facilitating of I know.
Uh-huh.
And what I saw in the moment was, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I am the most dangerous facilitator ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that person is.
Yes.
Yeah, you're not.
Yes.
Who you are, of course, is the one who saw that.
Yes.
And recognizes that danger and is present enough, at least in that moment, to realize, oh, I don't ever want to let that person get on the cushion.
Yes.
Yeah. And not when anybody else is in the room, certainly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Big one.
I have some announcements here.
Oh, good.
You will be in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii on April 23 and 24, and you'll be guiding a workshop called There Never Was Anything Wrong With You, Turning the Tables on Self-Hate.
It's the truth.
And coming up on the East Coast, there will be several opportunities in May to see you. You'll be at Malaprop's Bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina on Sunday, May 2nd at 5 o'clock p.m. You'll also be guiding the Green Cove Retreat, which is May 3 to 9. And you'll be at Yogaville in Virginia from May 7th to 9th.
Yes.
No shortage of opportunities to jump in and participate.
Exactly. I'm very excited about it. You know, I think Malaprop's in Asheville was the very first bookstore I ever spoke at.
Wow.
Because they were one of the first bookstores to carry the key.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like in 1983 or 84, something like that. And so it's always just very fun for me to be there. And of course, Asheville, North Carolina has some of the most fabulous people in the world. So there
yeah.
is that.
Yeah. I've been to many of your bookstore events. I've been very fortunate for that. And they're just so much fun.
we can have a good time.
Yeah, the conversation just goes all over the place.
That's why we just usually call them a conversation.
Yeah.
Because, you have a topic and then you're limited and then I have to think of something to say. And that's always a challenge for me. But, if people just want to have a conversation about life and practice and how things go and what they're seeing and what we're doing, boy, I can just do that forever.
Yes. And to me, it feels so respectful.
So what?
So respectful.
Oh.
Rather than standing up there and somebody just talking and on and on.
Yeah.
And on.
Pretending like I know.
Yes.
Yeah. we're back to that one again.
Exactly.
Yeah, we just don't want that person there.
And we have many people here who'd love to talk with you.
Okay, I have one announcement.
Great.
And some people know this because of the email that I sent out the other day, my monthly letter to folks. But there's now a blog up.
Yeah.
That is my, I just call it quite simply Sherry's Practice Blog.
Yes.
And so if people want to go there, they can, the easiest way is probably just to follow the Practice Everywhere messages, and it'll take you through the website in a way that'll lead right to that blog. And so that's a way that I'm hoping, again, to be in conversation with people in a way that is helpful to all of us.
Yes, yes. I visited there. I got the tweet, and that's really fun.
Yeah.
I'm exciting.
Very excited about it. Inspiration practice, I was looking at it at today, and I know we have people to talk to, and I'm eager to talk to them. However, I was looking at the relationship between practice and inspiration. And I have, over the years, people have said to me, well, isn't, my teacher used to say, inspiration is the worst reason in the world for doing anything. And I know exactly, I think, what he meant by that. And I agree, to get inspired about something and then do something as a result of that inspiration is very dangerous. I think what I should do is, sell everything and move to wherever or start a business or whatever. Those kinds of inspirations can be dangerous.
Yeah.
But to stay inspired, to be inspired all the time, I think is an extraordinary way to live. And so for me, being inspired about practice is really joyful. So I spend a lot of my time being inspired. And, of course, I have all my heroes, and I spend time with my heroes, and then I'm inspired by what their practice and what they say and what they've done and that sort of thing. And then there's nothing to do with that. So now with this blog, I have a chance to talk about some of those things with people, and hopefully, they'll find them inspiring, or they'll tell me what they find inspiring.
Yeah.
And then it grows in that way. And with this whole attending to the life that you want, it's so difficult for us to get past conditioning long enough to be able to turn our attention where we want it to be so that we can have the life that we want. And so I think it's all going to work together nicely in that direction. I hope so anyway.
Great. I think you're off to a great start.
Yeah. All right. You got some peeps for us?
Yes, I do.
All right.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Oh, dear.
Doing that funny thing again.
Oh, dear.
Try this one more time.
Hi, this is Jodine.
Hey, Jodine.
Hi, I'm calling from California.
Oh, good. Is it beautiful where you are, too?
Oh, yeah. It is so gorgeous. I'm in my apartment, which I call the treehouse, because I have, windows, 190 degrees around.
Ooh,
and it's
nice.
All these tree tops and flowers, and it's gorgeous.
Mm. Lucky us, huh? So
what's going on
there with you in the treehouse?
Well, in my best year yet this year, I resolved to call the radio show.
Very good.
And I think I've only called in once in the whole time the radio show's been going on.
Oh, dear.
And then I had a Tuesday off, which is off work, which is so unusual for me. And then I was like, oh, ho, hum, what am I going to do? And then I was like, oh, Tuesday.
yes, there's a message there for you. Very good.
Yeah, you know, it's like the one thing that I didn't call about Best Year Yet, but the one thing that I love about Best Year Yet is you kind of pave, you throw out these kind of intentions, or that's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's like I have these intentions, and I didn't intentionally put all my doctor's appointments this month on a Tuesday. They just fell that way.
Uh-huh.
But because I had the intention to call the show, then it all snapped. You know, it all kind of just fit together.
Yes, yes. And I, you know, we don't want to get superstitious, but the more we pay attention, the more we realize how often that's the case. And what I don't know this, but I suspect that what's going on is that increasingly, as we wake up, as we pay attention, increasingly we are simply aligning ourselves with how life lives us. So, you know, when we're caught in conditioning, conditioning and karma, you know, there are all of these ideas that tend not to have anything to do with who we authentically are or the life that we are here living. And so
mm-hmm.
there's this great tension and a lot of dissatisfaction. But as we bring our lives more in line with the moment we're living in, then that serendipitous, magical kinds of events seem to happen more and more often. So I was reading a quote recently, and it was something, I'll find it actually and put it in the blog, because it was something about that we are not here to create order in the world. The world is ordered. What we need to do is put ourselves in agreement with the order that the world is.
Mm.
Yeah. And then, of course, the result of that is peaceful. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything works.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like aha, and it used to be, you know, I agree with you that I think it does happen more often,
mm-hmm.
Or at least that's my experience too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
is it more often? Are we more present for it? Are we more awake? You know, do we just notice it more? Has it always been that way? But we weren't in tune enough to notice it. It's one of those things that it gets really hard to tell.
Right. Like
technically,
if I
doesn't matter.
Yeah, like maybe the same thing could have happened 3 years ago, and I never would have thought of calling the show.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this also kind of the life living is the kind of thing I was calling about. I also wanted to share a success story.
Good.
Because I have for so long heard you encourage me and other people who struggle with depression to get active,
mm-hmm.
to get, you know, physical,
mm-hmm.
and get energy,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that
get way. Moving. Get moving, right.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to a point a number of years ago in my life where physical fitness had never been on my radar screen, really. And I was making a list, it, again, had to do with Best Year Yet, of things I've always wanted to do in my life. And being physically fit was there in that list. And at that point in my life, it seemed like every other thing on that list was no longer available to me.
Huh.
Like, I had sunk to this place in life that, you know, was one of the hardest times in my whole life, really. And I thought, well, I can be physically fit, then, you know, I'll start a fitness practice. And I did, and, you know, it was a little rocky, and, you know, there were ups and downs. But now, and this is probably like 6 years later, I have a regular physical fitness practice. I'm on a swim team for adults, which is inspiring for me, and has, you know, I connect with people that I never would have met, who are doing amazing things and who inspire me. And I have to say, it feels like I almost rebuilt my life from that, like, cornerstone.
Well, you know,
because I had to show up, and I had to have that commitment to myself.
Yes, and I love it that you call it a practice, because it is a practice.
It is.
So not only do you have to show up for yourself, but if you're going to be successful, kindness has to be a part of it. People who try to have a relationship with their bodies that lacks kindness, it doesn't work. And a lot of the ways, of course, that it doesn't work is that people get injured, and you know, they get sick and that sort of thing, because you can't just treat the body as some sort of a machine / mule and expect the body to be happy about it. So you have to learn kindness and patience. You know, you build slowly. You reward your successes. It's a wonderful practice.
Yeah.
Good for you. That's
so how it's gone for me.
Yeah.
Because I did, first of all, I got into swimming because it's gentle.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was injured, I had a back injury.
Mm-hmm.
But as I got into swimming, I developed a shoulder injury, which, you know, is very common.
Yeah.
And that got me into coaching and, you know, talking with people who know how, when you love a sport, you can get around anything.
Right.
You know?
Exactly. You know what? I just have to stop you right there. When you love anything, you can get around anything. Which is such an argument for love, isn't it?
It is, yes.
We find a way to make it work if it's something we love. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So if I can go on to the kind of, that's now the real reason why I called Sherry.
Oh, okay. All right, so we'll move quickly through this one. We got a late start, and I know people are waiting. So we can be quick, girls.
Yeah. So recently, I found myself saying in a session with my therapist, I found myself saying, "It seems like nothing's working in my life," and she has a practice of countering those statements, like changing it into, I say, even though it seems like nothing's working in my life, I choose.
Good. Oh, that's very good.
Yeah, this is, she's wonderful. And she let me choose. She said she often prompts her clients with something to choose. But she said, you know you can do this.
Yeah, you know what you want to choose.
And what came out of my mouth is, I choose to trust this place where I am.
Oh, that's big, isn't it?
So big for me.
Not just for you.
Anybody.
It's like Michael's awareness earlier about the, you know, you don't want the person who knows what's wrong with everybody to be facilitating. This is that same thing. We are so conditioned by karmic conditioning to look at where we are with judgment and an assumption that there's something wrong with it and try to get away from it, when it's actually always where we are is always the perfect place to
by definition.
Yeah, exactly. This is where you are. Yeah.
Yep, this is where I am.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and it's all perfect. And so after that, I record those sessions with my therapist. So I was listening to the recording, and I was disidentified from, you know, the person who initially said, it seems like nothing's working in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stepped back from that, and I was, what?
Aha.
And I made a list of what I was like before I had an awareness practice. And I read that list to my partner. And you know what he said? He said, who is this person you're telling me about?
Wow.
I mean, the list is just, I am so different. One time you told me I could consider myself a poster child for awareness practice.
I have a way with words, don't I?
Yeah, well, I took it on, Sherry. And yeah, you know, I read down this list, like, you know, I was a cigarette smoker. My diet was meat and potatoes and a lot of sugar. You know, I couldn't tolerate anyone in my family for more than an hour.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I just read down this list, and significantly about the depression, I was convinced I suffered from manic depression and that I would need lifelong psychiatric medications and psychotherapy.
Mm. Wrong.
And I do not believe that. I mean, that, I just, my therapist and I say, well, I guess you were misdiagnosed is what happened.
Yeah. God, that is just amazing.
Yeah, I
tell you, I'm gonna let her know I'm gonna steal that, even though that's just a, even though it seems like that is just a such a kind way to acknowledge the person who is having that experience, while also reminding oneself that just because somebody's having an experience doesn't mean it's true.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because when I played the recording, you know, I knew I need to work with that person because nothing is working for her.
That's right. That's how she feels. But from a centered, more expansive place, you can mentor her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can help her see everything else that is so without ever needing to discount her perception or her feelings.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you. I'm glad you didn't have to work on Tuesday night.
Okay.
And I'm
thank
glad you,
so
you and I'm glad you made a best year yet commitment to call the radio show.
Yeah, me too. Yes.
A lot
thank
of good
you,
news.
Michael. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jodeen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors now, and I'm hesitating to mute you.
Oh, let's risk it. We are fearless.
Okay, I will mute you, and I hope you come back.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, thank you.
What would you do if you knew you could not fail? How free would you be? How deep would you love, dear? What would you hear if you listened to your beautiful heart?
This music by Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of...
Thank you. Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open It with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have more callers here.
Good.
You're still here, which is good.
Yes, it's all good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Peter calling from China.
Hey, Peter.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, good morning. It's 8:30 in the morning.
Uh-huh. And what's going on?
Yeah, I was calling to ask or just kind of share what I'm experiencing with sitting practice.
Okay.
And how I see it kind of play out in my life during the day, too.
Uh-huh.
So what I see is kind of a process going on where, so I sit and I count my breaths, and then I'll have chunks of time where, for whatever reason, you know, I'm not even counting my breaths, I'm thinking about something totally different, and then come back, you know, counting the breaths. But I'll find it like big sections of the time where I realize, you know, I'm sitting for half-hour sessions, and then I'll, you know, I don't know, who knows how long it was that I wasn't paying attention to my breathing. And so the pattern I saw over you know, months or everywhere, so then I just kind of accepted, like, okay, you know, this is kind of how it goes, and kind of reading some of your books, you know, it's sort of like reinforcement, like not to, you know, dwell too much on that. That's kind of what conditioning does. And but what I found was is like, so every time I sit, then I kind of just accept big chunks of time where I'm not counting my breaths. And starting to now see like where it almost feels like I'm, I don't know if I can wear this, or like I'm not being responsible for paying attention to my breaths, or conditioning maybe trying to take over to say I should do something about it, or and I kind of see it like where if I look at it throughout the day, like if I relate it to say something like where I catch myself eating meals with friends, where all of a sudden I find myself eating something that I'm not so sure that I actually want to be eating it, and do I, you know, if there's anything, I guess I feel confused a little bit.
Okay.
Like what to do about it or not.
Okay. Let me take a shot at it. Because I see two things in this, and again, this is a great conversation because it's so true for everybody who tries to sit.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening with you is that you've been doing this for long enough in this way that you've
mm-hmm.
recognized that this may not be the way you want to do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there are
yeah.
a lot of people who sit down and they just turn their meditation practice over to egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate after about 5 minutes. but
right.
you haven't. You've been watching how this goes. And
mm-hmm.
what you've realized is, you've gotten to a point
mm-hmm.
where you realize, if I keep going this way, it's not going to do anything except get more so. So I'll probably be gone more of the time.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the point, it's kind of like what we were talking about with Jodine and swimming. This is the point where you get to say, okay, I don't want to do that. I really want to be
mm-hmm.
here. I want to be here for this person, and I want to be here
right.
for this meditation. So how
right.
can I, with absolute compassion and kindness, learn to be present?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
of course, that's what we're going for.
Right, right. The compassion part of how to, of
yes.
of going about doing becoming more present.
Yeah. So I always, of course, take it to children. You know, there's there's Peter, 6 years old, learning, wants to learn to hit a baseball. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so how is that going to happen? How are we going to do that? Should we start
mm-hmm.
screaming at him and yelling at him, maybe smacking
right.
him around if he's not? Or do we commit out of love to take all of the time necessary, make every effort
yeah.
to make this a successful, pleasant, joyful experience that will set him on that path for the rest of his life?
Yeah. Yeah. I think what kind of stuck for me, what you said, was the compassionate part going about it. Because otherwise, what I find happening is what you said earlier, like turning the practice or turning whatever I'm into doing like as though I'm a mule or something, you know, where it's like it's like just do it, you know,
just do it.
And
in
yeah,
fact,
and it doesn't.
In fact, just do it and don't enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
For a lot of conditioning, it's like if you're enjoying it, you must be doing it wrong. Because
mm-hmm.
life is not
mm-hmm.
about enjoyment. Life is about getting
yeah.
stuff done, being the right
yeah.
person. You know, and no, actually, we have, outside the human realm, we have almost
mm-hmm.
no information that says that that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like it has to look, it's like it has to look a certain way. And that way is that it looks like it has to be work and tiring and yeah, in order for you to actually be doing anything about it, sort of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And
yeah.
and yet, you know, I marvel often about how people approach weather. And, you know, storms are vicious and
mm-hmm.
fires are violent. And, you know, you think, wow, really? That it seems like,
mm-hmm.
huh. It's just kind of how nature operates. But we
mm-hmm,
turn
mm-hmm.
it into how we feel about it. And do we even feel that way about it? Well, we've been taught to. So we're
mm-hmm.
afraid of everything, and we dread everything, and we try to avoid everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, then we get told makes us a bad person.
Right, right. So, okay, so then... Well, I think that what you said really matches kind of what I was going for as far as, you know, it's been so long now and I'd like to be different or I'd like to be more present.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the main thing is going about it in a compassionate way that I'm going to, I mean, is there anything you could suggest
well,
as far as maybe a tip?
You know, one of
like,
the things that you might find is that you'll want to meditate more often. For shorter periods.
Mm, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good call, actually. Yeah, because
yeah.
That's actually come to mind, and I haven't done it because I have my schedule so regulated that I have, you know, sit there and think, oh, maybe I should sit now. This seems like one of those times, and then I don't do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
We all know.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's again, if we approach it like a sport, then you know, you're training up. And you're training,
exactly.
training yourself to be present, and
mm-hmm.
It'll work.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's great. That's perfect. That's what I needed.
Good. Well, check in then periodically and let us know how it's going.
Yeah, I will for sure.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Enjoy your
Thanks
day.
I will.
All
thank
right.
you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Peter. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, let's stop, drop, and breathe.
Woo! Always a good idea.
Always a good idea. And we'll be right back.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to your open air. Sherry, we have more callers.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, can you hear us? You are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Kind of anxiety producing, isn't it?
Here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
I could say good to hear any voice, but then that would sound like, you know, it's not especially good to hear your voices. So.
Well, okay, I won't take either one of them personally.
No,
how about
don't
that?
Take any of it personally. That's best. What's going on?
Well, I've been listening to the previous callers and trying to plug in my content. So it feels very relevant, as always. But my content is my writing that I've been working on.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even know kind of where to begin in the whole process, because it's just like I could just replay the both previous callers back. But so there seems to be a frustration that just feels like I'm going in circles with this writing. I've been putting myself on a little discipline program, you know, a 30-day retreat type of program, and writing for 30 minutes every morning, and it's just been wonderful, and I've enjoyed it, and you know, I don't do it all the time, but it doesn't matter. I just am enjoying it, and so I'm gathering these reams and reams and reams of paper, and so there feels like there's something that wants to happen, you know, or I don't know. And I guess this is where I kind of get in the frustrated mode or something.
And how do you think it should be?
It feels like it should be there. Something's like this writing should be sort of organized into more of a body of I started to say thought, but it's not really a body of thought, but just something kind of, you know, I've compared it to, like, feels like being pregnant. Like there should be a little person that comes out of this, you know, like there's something that should be formed from all this.
Well, in a certain time frame.
I don't even know if I don't feel a sense of urgency. I just am wanting to see some sort of form. I guess something. I don't want to say like I have a book by the end of December, you know, or something like that. But I would like to begin to see some sort of a form.
Because.
Because it feels like I'm going in circles, and
so is it kind of like if you're gonna paint, you ought to get a picture?
Yeah, I think it maybe is a little like that.
You can't just be painting.
Yeah, like colors, some colors and shapes sort of go together, and you should be sort of recognizing some things in your picture. Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
And now, who is that person who says that? Because we've heard from the person who loves to write. Loves to write.
Yeah.
And now we're hearing from somebody who... clearly has an agenda, and it's not just loving to write.
Yeah. So what was the question?
Well, I was just wondering who this person is, because there's somebody who wanted to write.
Yeah.
Somebody who is loving writing.
Okay. So yeah, what came up just then was who's here is someone who wants to produce something. Wants to produce something.
Yeah. Well, wants something produced.
Yeah.
So it's kind of what I hear anyway is if this person slides through periodically and says to the person who's writing, so what is it?
Yeah.
You know, or comes by the easel and says to, you know, says to the painter, okay, I'm not seeing it.
Oh, that is so, yeah, it's like the, you know, kind of the proverbial or the stereotypical when a child shows the picture to the parents, like, so what is it? You know, it's like, well, it's his creation, you know.
That's right. It's what I made.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's a relief to hear.
Yeah.
It
is very much a parallel, isn't it, to the, especially the previous person, with that idea of, we need to be getting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Clearly we got to an agreement on where we want to get to is compassionate awareness, which is
mm-hmm.
where you want to get to too.
Yeah.
So the person who comes in and says, yeah, but you know, the tapping the foot or drumming the fingers or that sort of thing. I think we could suspect that we know who that is. And it's
yeah.
not somebody who's really hopeful that any kind of clarity from the heart is going to get expressed.
Yeah. Oh, and I just had this kind of burst of gratitude just well up right now that there's something there's something really pure that is going to keep conditioning from getting its grubby little hands on my writing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's this... It's like there's this process of just creating, or of just like being this sort of like channel. I'll be just, you know, making my son's lunch or whatever, and these ideas will flow through, and I'll just grab a piece of paper and just write it, and just enjoy the stew out of just doing that, you know, just kind of being the flow of the idea.
Yeah.
And it's like there's this gratitude that, okay, that's going to be protected. I'm not going to have to give it up to conditioning this one who wants to produce something.
Yeah.
Or wants something to be produced.
Yeah, wants something to be. And actually, I think we're at the point in the conversation now where we could probably agree is really hoping that nothing will ever be produced.
Oh, of course. I always forget that part.
Yeah.
That it doesn't even really mean what it says it wants. I mean, I don't always get it, but I'm glad to be reminded of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That pressure is really to ruin it and to make sure that nothing does come of it. Because if something did come of it, then you would do that more and more. But if you can be made to see this process of writing as a misery, well, you'll quit. And there's one more avenue closed.
Yeah.
So you'll no longer be open to those insights that light you up, because they're just going to result in misery.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, this is so good. Such a good reminder.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.
You are so welcome. I'm glad you got through.
Me too. I'm glad you got through.
Oh, no kidding. So it was so funny to be able to, you know, I'm hearing Michael and I'm going, yes, hi, yes, I'm here, yes, yes, and to know that it's not just not going anywhere, you know. Oh, dear.
Oh, that's funny.
That's fun. All right. Talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have more callers here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Lakota.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. I just love listening to this show. It lights me up so much, and I just feel so much gratitude for the show and for everybody that calls in and the Sangha. It's just awesome.
It is. It's good, isn't it? Sangha is the best.
It is the best. That went through my head so many times as I was listening to conversations. Yep. So much gratitude, and I love the excitement of calling in. It's just like this really cool improv kind of situation, and not having any idea what's going to happen or who's going to say what, and knowing that it doesn't really matter because there's no way to go wrong.
Exactly. That captures it perfectly, doesn't it? When we are here, when we are present, there is no way to go wrong.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
It's just so cool. and that this practice, support and opportunity provides that kind of experience, because I spent a good portion of the day really wrapped up in this pretty miserable kind of conditioned story. And then here sitting on this phone call, just popped right out of it and like laughing and crying and like just really following along and just here and in it. And it's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I know I was thinking, I'm trying to restrain myself on this blog thing because I want to just be writing it all the time and then completely overwhelming people. But I know that the thing that I want to talk about, no surprise, is encouraging people in the practice of turning their attention, because that is such a key to the whole thing. So it just breaks my heart to hear you say you spent all day or most of the day in this miserable story. And I just think, now we've got to get him on a program so that he knows, 10 minutes into the misery, that he can turn his attention away from that and not have to spend a whole day in it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I do. I think conditioning really likes to make a story, like to create this veneer where it seems like the whole day was misery, but that's not true. I mean, there were times where I read the blog and I got the practice reminders and I did stop and I took 5 minutes and I went to a quiet place and I focused on the breath. And isn't that funny that it wants to convince me that didn't even happen?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'll tell you, I heard myself saying that, I'd get to the end of the day and go, good Lord, what did I do today? I didn't get any of the stuff done that I hoped to get done. And so I just started making a list, a running list of everything that I was doing, so that at the end of the day, I would go, oh, my God, how did I fit all that in? Instead of, what did I do? I have this whole list that I didn't even get close to getting finished. So it is great to stop and realize, no, actually I was present a lot during the day, and conditioning wants me to, wrap it all up under, well, that was a day lost in misery.
Oh, my goodness. That's such a good reminder.
Yeah.
Well, a little piece of content came up last night that, that conditioning was really trying to make a story out of, and I would love to just throw it out real quick just to kind of get it out of my head.
Get it on the outside instead of on the inside.
Yeah, so I've been really practicing with exploring relationship recently, and get something that kind of conditioning has always told me horror stories about and really kind of scared me about, and it's just a really good practice opportunity. Last night on the phone, I was talking with my girlfriend, and she told me that she was having some fears coming up about that I might want to all of a sudden become a monk and to go to a monastery and disappear and abandon her kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And just watching kind of what came up with that, it was just a whole host of, I think, sub-personalities and self-hate voices kind of came up all at once about it. And really interesting kind of watching that.
Uh-huh. It really set everybody off.
It set everybody off, exactly. Yeah, that was exactly, yep, that was the thing. It was like one sentence could just get the whole chorus into motion.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everybody wants to have their time center stage to deal with whatever it is that they've got going about it and about what everybody else has going about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, really interesting. Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, there was somebody that wanted to find a way to, like, console her or reassure her that it was going to be okay and that I want to be with her. And then there was somebody else who was really kind of sad or scared, I think, of, like, big emotions kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was somebody that was like, well, what if I did want to do that?
Right.
And, gosh, yeah, it was just really, really interesting seeing it all come up.
Yeah, well, and again, that thing that we have going, that there's something wrong, right? It's just so deep. So if she feels afraid, then that's wrong for her. You know, she wants to find some way to feel secure enough that she doesn't have to feel afraid, which we can all say, we all know from our own experience, well, that's just plain silly because there are no guarantees in life. You know, you could be absolutely 1,000% committed to her, and this is where we always say, God forbid, you die.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so there just aren't any guarantees. And then on your side of it, you know, the fact that she has those feelings, there's something wrong with that. Now, you've got to either fix her or do something about you, you know. But what we're not accustomed to is just saying, wow, yeah, well, boy, that happens, doesn't it?
I love that. Yeah, it's for sure. Because what it wanted to do was make it into this story of, well, there's these two things that I really, really want, and they're like mutually exclusive. Like, if I have practice at the level that I want, then I can't have relationship or vice versa. And, you know, that kind of thing, and pull me into that crazy, you know, suffering kind of conversation where, you know, I can't have either of the things that I want. Whereas, I mean, I stepped back for a second today and was like, wait a darn minute here. I'm in a relationship with somebody, and it's really great. It adds wonderful things to my life. And I have practice in my life, which is a beautiful thing, and it adds so much to my life. Like, where's the loss?
Exactly. You know? How can I have two really great things in my life that I love, and the sum total of that is misery?
Yeah.
Only egocentric karmic conditioning could set that up.
It's so good saying it out loud and kind of bouncing it off and just hearing how absurd that is.
Yeah, yeah. Win-win equals lose.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I just realized, you know, that practice and relationship, for that matter, don't necessarily have to look any certain way. You know, it's like, there's a voice that wants to say, like, if you don't become a monk and go to the monastery and live the rest of your life like that, then, you know, it's, you're not really practicing or whatever. And it's just so ridiculous because here I am out in the world, surrounding myself diligently with all these wonderful practice supports and really practicing wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You know,
could be in the monastery, only practicing hating being in the monastery.
Oh, my God, I never considered that. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, many have done it.
I believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, here's the piece of that that to me is the really critical one, and that is that as long as we believe, as long as we can be talked into believing that something in our lives can be a mistake, that's the experience we will have. So if I said, you know, God, I mean, I have really wasted my life. You know, I could have done this, 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 and this. Then it would be that same process we were talking about earlier. A conditioned mind would have me not notice all of the wonderful things that have been in my life. And so the sum total of a fabulous life would be regret for an imaginary life that I didn't have.
Yeah, it's incredible to me how that filter, it works.
Yeah.
I mean, if you let it, it works so well. I mean, you can get completely deluded.
Yeah. And so it really is, that is a process that it's really important for us to nip. Because it will, as long as that process is allowed to live anywhere, it will find some place to be and something to ruin.
Yeah, that's my experience. So do you maybe have a homework assignment for me or with practicing with that?
Well,
or,
you know, that what occurs to me is for you to see if you can get a sense of the parts of you, the legitimate parts of you that love the various aspects. Like, I don't doubt at all that there's a big part of you who would love being a monk.
Yeah.
And there's a big part of you who loves being in relationship. And, of course, those are not the same people.
No.
Egocentric karmic conditioning / self-hate is going to work on both of those people. Right? So over here on the relationship side, it's going to work on you have to be this way so that you make sure that this relationship lasts forever. And, you know, she's not the right one. And, there's somebody. Okay. Then you go over onto the other side, right? And, you should be a monk. No, you're not cut out to be a monk. Okay. And then, of course, the ultimate is when it can make those two people into opposites. All right. So it's separating out what is conditioning, what is egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hatred, and what are the legitimate, wishes and inclinations and authentic desires, if you will, of each of those aspects. Because then you're working at consciously, how do you meet the needs of each of those parts of yourself?
Oh, well, and that seems like a pretty doable, kind of reasonable thing.
Yes, it does. And it's also excellent practice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I really like that. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Good to talk with you.
Yeah, you too. Thank you. All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lakota. You've been listening to another technological and spiritual miracle, which is Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Undaunted, we go forth.
Sherry, as usual, another great privilege for me to be part of everything.
Well, thank you for everything you do to make it happen, Michael.
You're very welcome. And I'll invite our other callers to please call again very early next week.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Okay. You too. Good night.